this evening, if you have your Bibles, want to continue our study through the Gospel of John, if you turn with me to John chapter 18. John chapter 18 this evening. Last week we saw where Jesus was betrayed by Judas, and he revealed that just as he would, when he dies on the cross, no man took his life, but he freely gave it. Likewise, he freely gave himself up because they could not take him. And when we saw on Sunday afternoon that Jesus, when they asked him, who is Jesus of Nazareth, he said, I am. And when he spoke that word, both not only indicating that he was the person, but also but the statement in the Greek and also the Hebrew language, would indicate that it's the name of God, and they fell back. They couldn't stand in his presence unless he allowed them to stand in his presence. And we're going to see tonight that very similar things are going to occur throughout the whole situation where Jesus is arrested. He is really persecuted, beaten, spat upon, and ridiculed. And then there are going to be six mock trials. We'll be looking at those over the next few weeks. Three were done in by the Jewish Sanhedrin, and three were done by Pilate. All of them illegal, and none of them proved guilt of anything because he was not guilty. But this evening we want to look at when he is first taken into custody, and begin at chapter 18, verse 12 this evening. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of the man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus and of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I make openly to the world, I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you just speak to us through your word this evening. And Father, help us to understand the wicked spirit of this world has been evident throughout history and has always been at odds with your spirit. And Father, we pray that as we look at Jesus when he willingly gave himself up to those that he knew would perform all of these things that were wrong and evil and wicked, yet he willfully did it on our behalf. And Father, he willfully went to the cross that we could have eternal life. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this evening and help us to understand the truths that are contained within it. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, they came, as it says, with a band, with a group of soldiers to take Jesus. And the amazing thing in the interaction that we saw on Sunday, Jesus even said to them, "Haven't I been amongst you all this time? Why do you come now in the midst of the darkness at night?" And they could have taken him any time, but they chose not to. And it shows you what evil does. Satan always likes to clothe evil and keep it under wraps in darkness so that the world can't see what's really happening. The high priest, the officers of the Sanhedrin, and the Pharisees and those that were with them that night to arrest Jesus, knew that had they done it openly during the day, they probably would have had a real riot on their hands, as many of the people looked to Jesus as a great teacher. And they fully didn't, most of the people did not fully understand that he truly was Messiah, but they understood that he was different than any other man. The comment had been made by more than one, "We've never heard a man speak like this man. We've never heard a man teach like this man." They saw him do all of his miracles. They saw him really confront the wickedness that was going on in the Jewish religion at that time, where they were abandoning the truth that God had put forth that they were to live out through the temple worship and worship the Lord in spirit and truth, and that the whole sacrificial system was to point to the Messiah. They were ignoring the prophets. They were ignoring the Lord Himself, and yet they were saying that we are the righteous ones. And the people saw that Jesus was standing up to them and proclaiming what they were, and that was evil. And so there's a reason they came in the midst of the darkness. And we know that Satan hasn't changed his tactics. You see, most evil happens under the cloak of darkness or the cloak of cover where it does not want to be revealed, and it's spoken of as something else. The religious leaders said that they were bringing Jesus because he was a heretic and because he was blasphemous, and they wanted to silence this blasphemer because he had proclaimed that he was God. They knew exactly what he had proclaimed, and yet they failed to see that their own prophets had foretold that he would come and that he would be God, come in the flesh and be the Messiah. And so we see that they come hiding under the cloak of darkness to cover their wickedness. They led him away, and it's interesting, they led him to Annas first. Now, I mentioned on Sunday, and I've mentioned before in other sermons, this was high priest by committee and family. And it had nothing to do with God's order of who should be the high priest. The family members took turns. Ananias had been high priest. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas. We see that Annas was the father-in-law of Caiaphas. And if historically, you'll see that other family members had also held this position. Now, this position was an appointment, and it was purchased from the Roman authorities that they could hold this position. And in return, they would attempt to keep the people under wraps so that they wouldn't rebel against Rome. And at the same time, this family could make a lot of money at the expense of the people in the name of religion. It's no different than many really scoundrels that come under the cloak of religion today and really take advantage of those that need to hear the truth and instead fleece the flock. And that's exactly what Annas and Caiaphas and that whole family were doing. They had no intention of really bringing the people into a relationship with God. And as you can see, the way that they conducted themselves in the whole temple worship and they conducted themselves in the temple, where they set up money changers and also they set up where they would sell animals as people would come from distances and couldn't bring animals with them, and they'd sell animals, and they had no problem. And again, you can go look at history. Josephus is one of the historical accounts. And it talks about the fact that they would sell animals that were flawed and should not have ever been sacrificed according to the scriptures. But they would sell them because they could make a profit. And sometimes they'd even sell them more than once. That was the character of these men. And when Jesus came in and saw them, the money changers in the temple, before these events that we're looking at tonight, when he first entered Jerusalem for the last time and he went to the temple, he overturned the tables, took a whip, and he drove them out, and he said, "You've turned my father's house of prayer into a den of thieves." And what they were doing is what the Lord hates. They had an unequal scale. What they would do is they would not give the proper trade when you changed money. If, for example, if you came as a Jew from a Grecian or Roman colony, you would have a different money, and you had to worship and pay for things with shekels at the temple, and so you had a temple currency. Well, they wouldn't give the real trade value. They would weight it heavily in their favor. And so they would steal. And really what they were doing is what the Lord talks about in Proverbs, where they put the thumb on the scale. And the practice there was that you had somebody that didn't understand what was happening, and so you'd have a different sets of weights. And so if you were weighing out how much something was worth, you'd have weights that would be hollow on the inside, and so it would look, you'd have to have more weight on there, so they'd have to pay more money, even though it would say like it was a 1 ounce weight, it really wouldn't be 1 ounce, because it would be a false weight. And then they put on heavier weights if they were trying to sell something to you instead of buying something from you. And it was a whole graft and corruption. That's who they were. And now they're standing before Jesus. Now he goes to Annas first, because Annas had been the high priest, and Annas was also the head of this family. And so he comes before Annas first, and then he is brought to Caiaphas, because Caiaphas is the acting high priest. It's his turn. Now as he comes before Caiaphas, in the scriptures it talks about the fact that Caiaphas had made this statement. And it really is a statement that is true. And people say, well, why would God use someone like Caiaphas to make a statement that's true? Well, God uses a lot of times people to make statements that are true, that are ungodly. For example, he used Balaam to bless Israel. And when Balaam's full intent was to curse Israel, he used a donkey to warn Balaam not to curse Israel, and that God was fully intending to take Balaam's life if he continued to go the way he was going. God can use men for his purposes even though they're not believers. And that's what he did with Caiaphas, because Caiaphas makes a statement that's amazing. He says, "Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people." Now the purpose was, he's saying, Jesus should die that the Romans would be satisfied, and they wouldn't come after the rest of us, because we can say that Jesus is an insurrectionist, that that Jesus is somebody that deserves to pay the penalty, and then the Romans will leave the rest of us alone. And so he'll die for it. That's what Caiaphas' thinking was, but the statement he made was true because it was expedient. Jesus had to die for the people, or they never could be saved. You know, someone said, well, why didn't Jesus just come the first time and set up his kingdom on earth? Why didn't he come and set the millennial kingdom up right away? And, well, because it would be the greatest non-kingdom that ever existed, because everybody that would be should have come into the kingdom wouldn't be able to, because they wouldn't have his righteousness to cover them. They wouldn't have a penalty paid for their sin. And even though they may have been righteous people compared to all the others of the world and been believers in him, unless he went to the cross and died, David couldn't be saved. Abraham couldn't be saved. No one could be saved apart from Jesus paying the penalty for our sin. So it was expedient for all the people of the whole world that Jesus die, but not in the thinking of Caiaphas, but in the plan of God. And so we see that Jesus did die, and he did willingly go with these evil and wicked men and give himself over to them. Now, it's interesting, the people that are following him are his disciples. And the two that are following him are Simon Peter and John. And John, if throughout the Gospel of John, John will never refer to himself. He will always speak in other terms. For he says, so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest. John knew who the high priest was, and the high priest knew John, and so he allowed John to come in. He allowed the soldiers to allow John to come in where Jesus was being questioned by them. And then John, in turn, goes out and speaks to the doorkeeper, and she allows Peter to come in. And then we see the first time that Peter betrays the Lord and says, I'm not one of his. And there's a damsel keeping the door. It's a younger woman who is the doorkeeper, and Peter lies to her because he's afraid. And he's afraid of what's going to happen to him. And a lot of times, if we don't keep our eyes on Christ and understand that he's calling us to do things, we can be like Peter and be doing that which we know is wrong, but because we're driven by fear, we do it anyway. Remember Peter, the whole thing where Jesus said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times? Peter said, I'll never deny you. I'll go with you. You know? Well, he was going to deny him three times, because when the pressure came and Peter wasn't really understanding the fullness of who Jesus was, and he looked at his situation through human eyes and not through with the power of God's Spirit in his life, because Jesus hadn't given him the Holy Spirit at that time, he yielded to fear. And oftentimes we can yield to fear when we really forget the words of what Jesus has said and what the promises he's given to us. So we see that Peter, he denies Jesus the first time when he goes in and he says, I am not one of his disciples. He denies him later on, and it's we'll see those later, that he denies him two more times, just as Jesus had said he would do. Now, when he gets in there, and John and him see what's happening, it's really, this whole thing is a setup. You know, we've seen a lot of setups in our government with corruption and false charges being brought against people. These are all false charges being brought against Jesus. And it was nothing but a setup. And one of the first things that they're doing, this whole thing is illegal that they're doing right now. There was never to be an inquisition of someone who had been accused of a crime unless there were two witnesses present. It was never to be done at night. This is done at night, in the middle of the night. There aren't two accusatory witnesses that are present yet. We're going to see that there's some drummed up witnesses brought later on. But So this is totally done illegally, and it's also done that later as they go before the Sanhedrin, we're going to see that that's illegal as well, because the Sanhedrin had to meet at certain times in a certain place, and when they were trying someone to see if they were innocent or guilty, it was not in the high priest's residence in the middle of the night. That was not the conditions. And so we see an illegal man who is not the high priest with false accusations done in the middle of the night, and this whole thing is a sham. But what they do is they begin to question Jesus. And the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Now this is very interesting. How often are Jesus' disciples with him? Every day. Every day for the last 3 years since he first called them, they've been with him. There's been lots of other people, but these 11 guys that are left, and they knew exactly who Judas was, that he was one of his disciples. They went and got Judas to betray him. They knew who his disciples were, but they asked, who are your disciples? What about your disciples? And then, what about your doctrine? We want to know what you really believe. Well, one of the reasons he was there that night is because they were so offended by what he said, because the things he said were pointing directly at their sin and their need to repent and their illegal activity in the things that they had been doing according to the law. And so they're trying to get, again, they continue to always try and get Jesus to say something that will justify them to bring these charges against him. Well, what does Jesus answer? His answer is very interesting. He says, I spake only to the world. Isn't that interesting? I spake only openly to the world. I spoke openly to the world. He didn't hide what he was saying. He didn't crouch it it wasn't a Gnostic concept that was hidden mystery. No, it was open. Everything he taught was open. When he was on the Mount and gave his speech or his talk, it was open for all the people to hear. And he had literally hundreds of people there listening. When he went and spoke at the temple, when we were in Israel, we were at the south, the steps on the south side of the temple, where the temple is. The temple itself isn't there, but the steps are still there. They've unearthed those. And as our guide was talking, he says, it was on these steps that rabbis would come and they'd sit and they'd teach. And people would gather all around them on the steps. And in all likelihood, this is where Jesus sat and taught. And when he was in the temple, he'd go out on the steps, he would teach, and the people would hear. And anyone could come and hear. He wasn't a respecter of persons. He didn't say, you can't stay and listen. Anyone was welcome to hear. And so he's saying, I spoke openly to the whole world. I didn't hide what I was saying. I didn't cover it. I ever taught in the synagogue, and he did. The scriptures tell us that he went in all the synagogues when he was in the northern part of Israel, where he had most of his ministry in the Galilee region. He went from city to city to city, and every city he went to the synagogue and taught in the synagogue. The synagogue was where the people would worship on a weekly basis when they didn't go to Jerusalem to the temple. And they'd read the scriptures. We saw that if you ever looked at how a synagogue service is held in a Jewish, they still hold them in an Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox, very similar to what Jesus would have done, where they read through the scrolls of the scriptures, and they have the same scriptures that are allotted for every Sabbath. And there's a worship service in the synagogue. And they didn't offer sacrifices, but it was a time of worship and it was a time of teaching. And he would teach in the synagogue. In the book of Acts, you see that Paul when he would go to the cities, the first thing he would see if there was a Jewish synagogue in that city, he'd go to the synagogue, he'd go there, and then he would teach. And he would teach on the Sabbath, and he would show from the Scriptures how Jesus was the Messiah. So we see that Jesus did the same thing. He says, I openly taught in all the synagogues. I didn't hide myself and not teach elsewhere. And also he taught in the temple. Whenever he came to Jerusalem for the feasts, he would teach in the temple. Whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. In other words, I haven't gathered my group together and said, okay, now this is the real Gnostic teaching that we're going to do. This is interesting, too, because there's Christians today that want to say that there's certain codes and different things in the Bible, and you have to have special insight in order to interpret it. Guess what? I don't think so, because Jesus said himself, I teach openly, I teach so that people can understand. The Scripture's been given to us so that all can understand. Remember one man said, well, I've got special insight because I've got the King James codes. And I've got there's certain codes, and if there's, you go so many words, and then you take the letters from this word, and then you go so many more words, take some letters from that word, and all of a sudden you've got a sentence that comes out and it says things. And I'm going, so in other words, you've got to have a computer and a computer program to know you how to put together these words to make up the secret messages that are in the Scripture. Jesus said, I teach openly. God doesn't hide his word from people. He wants all men to know. He taught openly when he walked on the earth. He tells the high priest, I teach openly. He teaches openly today, and he's given us his word, and it's for all men. I really like what David Hawking says. He said, God put the cookies on the lowest shelf so the kids could even get them. Children can understand the gospel from the Bible. Oh, there are deeper truths that you can get when you study and you look at God's Word, but it's not done in codes. It's done there where God's Spirit opens up and you compare Scripture with Scripture. You don't have to have codes and Gnosticism in order, special knowledge in order to understand it. And he says, why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. He says, you want to know what I taught? You want to know my doctrine? Why are you asking me? Go and ask the people that heard me and see what they say. Remember what I said at the beginning of the message? Their comment was, we've never heard a man speak like this before or teach like this before. Why? Well, if you understood, he who gave us his word was giving them his word and expounding it. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there and been taught by Jesus, the one who was created all things, and now he's going to tell us and explain to us about creation? The one who established the law and the sacrificial system, and now he's going to expound and explain Leviticus and Deuteronomy and the sacrificial system and what the significance of it is. I mean, it would be amazing. And he says, go listen to them. Ask them and see what they say. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken. Now, do you find anything really offensive there that he had offended the high priest? But one of the guards slaps him in the face and accuses him. He says, and one of his officers, which stood by, struck Jesus with the palm of his hand and said, answerest thou the high priest so? Well, first of all, it wasn't the high priest. It was a man masquerading as high priest. And secondly, he had said nothing that was not true. So how had he not answered the high priest? And they had sat and listened to his very doctrine. That is why they would become so angry. They had asked him the question when he was talking and when they were talking about Abraham, and he said, before Abraham was, I am. They knew exactly what he had just said. They said, how could he who is as young as he has been there when Abraham was? And he said, before Abraham was, I am. He had just declared himself to be God. They understood his doctrine that he was declaring himself to be God, come in the flesh as a man in fulfillment of the Scriptures. They knew his doctrine, but they wanted to silence him. And they also wanted him to get something. They were trying to force him by pressure to say something that would make him not who he was. To deny he was God. To deny he was the Messiah. To deny the things that he had taught. And they still wouldn't have let him go, but that's what they were attempting to do. And he wasn't going to do it because he had come for a mission, even as we looked at when he was praying, let thy will, not mine, be done. It wasn't that he wanted to get free so that he could continue to live in freedom, but rather he came to go to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? You know, there's a lot that can be said in that statement when we're falsely accused of doing something. Jesus was falsely being accused. He said, if I've spoken evil, but I haven't spoken evil. And that's really, he was putting it, the onus back on them and showing that they were the ones that were bringing the false message and the false accusations. He had done nothing wrong. Let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to understand your word and to understand who is really in control. It wasn't the so-called high priests. It wasn't the soldiers that they had brought from the temple. It wasn't later on the Sanhedrin who'd be called in to ridicule him. It wasn't the men that had bound him and who would later persecute him. But Lord, it was you. And Lord, help us to understand that no matter what the situation is in this world, you are in control. Help us to look to your example and help us not to be filled with fear as Peter was that night, but rather help us to look to you and walk in the power of your truth. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to 356.